Here it is. You know, it's a day after Joe Biden thought he'd throw a C-note out there for you to get the jab. $100 bills for a shot. And like I told you, $100, you ought to get a couple of shots, especially on the weekend. Let's see. Mask mandates, required vaccines, vaccination passports. You know, all of this distracting from a trillion-dollar infrastructure bill. It's all going on. Steve Doolin joining me, attorney and professor of firearms law. Doolin, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks, Gruber. Glad to see you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. I have to start with your legal cap on here. The president coming out and saying, all right, first of all, we'll give you $100 if you get the vaccination. I'm like, well, that's not going to turn anybody, I don't think. But these mask mandates and requirements coming back again, the idea that federal workers are now mandated, forced to get the vaccine or comply with other strict orders about masking, distancing, testing, and all of that. Plus, the CDC saying, yeah, vaccine passports. We'd like to go in that direction, too. Vaccine passports have been soundly rejected by the American people as far as polling goes. But what about all of these things? I mean, it's very tyrannical, I think, is the word that comes to mind. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a big difference between individual health choices. There's a conflict between individual health choices and public health mandates in the midst of an epidemic. There is some legal authority. There's precedent. You know, there's a reason that these states, the governors had emergency powers built into their laws in terms of short-term emergency powers in order to take action when there's a true public health emergency. There's open debate right now about whether COVID ever constituted a true public health emergency, and if so, to what extent. There's a big difference between the spreading of bubonic plague, and we've got to separate people for in the short term, back to medieval times, bring out your dead, that kind of thing, versus the survivability numbers of COVID. It looks like there's data coming in now, a year and a half later, showing that a lot of what government did was actually harmful individuals. There's not the clear-cut emergency that was foreseen when a lot of these emergency powers were put in place at the state levels.
Right.
As far as the federal government having this power, I don't see where the federal government can get the power other than the tax and spend power. My understanding is, and I'm by no means a physician, but as near as I can tell from sorting through the information available, is that vaccinated people can still spread COVID.
That's what they're telling
us. Because it's not a true vaccine in the old-fashioned sense.
And in fact, looking at Los Angeles, California, now 25% of the people that are hospitalized with COVID right now, fully vaccinated. 40% in the UK, 40% in Israel. So this is not particularly comforting when it comes to people. You know, you need to get the vaccine, you have to get it because it's going to do this, and this, and then you look at the efficacy and go, doesn't look like that's panning out that way at all. I want to ask you about something else. As a result of the pandemic, as you know, we all know, several states, including the one you live in, changed election law, they said, in the short term. Now, as we predicted, they're trying to get those things to stick permanently. And Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, is actually threatening states. If you go back to what your laws were prior to the pandemic, we might challenge you on that. Because we're not going to just say that, well, it was legal what you had before. And we might challenge you on going back to the regulations, rules, and laws you had pertaining to elections prior to 2020. What do you make of that?
Well, as you said, it's as predicted. I think it was Milton Friedman who said there's nothing has such, or the closest thing to perpetual life is a temporary program. I think if I'm phrasing it properly, and I hope I'm attributing it properly. There seems to be, you know, sort of a leftward ratchet to all law in general. There's a bunch of debate about why that is, because there doesn't seem to be that sort of leftward ratchet in the electorate itself. There's something about government itself that tends to accumulate power. And so, you know, if you know even some history and you know some law, you don't have to be a lawyer by any means. You realize that the number of laws are ever increasing. The depth of penetration of law into our lives is ever increasing, and government into our lives. And so this is just all part of the same phenomenon, in my opinion. And there's a very specific reason here. It looks like a lot of folks on the left are saying, if we can't win elections based on our ideas, let's just import voters and let's make it a little sloppy around the edges, at least.
Right.
To do elections, to be kind. I think that's about the nicest way I can phrase it.
Maybe sloppy all the way to the middle, in fact. Make it just sloppy in general and just, well, you know, it's close enough. We've got about a minute left. I want to ask you about one more thing before I go, because David Chipman put forth to be the ATF director, not doing particularly well, asked by Senator Kennedy of Louisiana, can you please describe and define an assault weapon, for which he floundered for 5 minutes, could not get an answer of any coherence out of his mouth. Do you think that David Chipman's going to be the director of the ATF or not? This is right up your alley.
Well, as I've told you before, my crystal ball is broke.
That's
so
too bad.
I hope not, yeah, for obvious reasons. But the reason I hope not is because as soon as I hear those words, that phrase, assault weapon, the lawyer hat goes on and the definitional impossibility kicks in. It is literally impossible to define a so-called assault weapon, assault rifle. We're talking about 100-plus-year-old technology here and types of firearms that are owned in the tens, if not hundreds of millions,
right,
by Americans.
You got that right. All right, Doolin, I got to leave it there. Steve Doolin, everybody. He's an attorney. He's a professor, and he's a regular contributor to this program. Doolin, have a lovely weekend.
You too, Gruber.
There you have it, everybody. Quick break now. It's the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be back.
Would your business survive a disaster?